back in the slides, number five, the book of Isaiah is the best source of some of the Bible's greatest mysteries. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, take your Bible, and we're going to spend an entire class on this, but Isaiah 14 records for us the fall of Satan, starting in Isaiah 14 and verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning. Verse 13 and 14 talk about his five I wills, I will ascend into heaven. Basically, Isaiah is the source of some of the Bible's greatest mysteries. Isaiah contains the two furthest reaching events in all history. One of the most ancient events of all is the fall of Satan. That's in chapter 14. At the other end, the most future event is the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, and that's Isaiah 66:22. So Isaiah has those two furthest points that we can hardly even comprehend, yet they're both captured in this one book. So back at your slides, Isaiah is the source of some of the Bible's greatest mysteries. Number six, Isaiah is the book that totally emphasizes the doctrine of God in the Bible. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's open in our Bibles to Isaiah 40, because Isaiah 40 could be called a theology book. That one chapter, the 40th chapter, is like a book of theology. And you remember what theology means, theologia. It's the study of God. In Greek, theos is God, and logia is to study. So Isaiah is not only a chief source on inspiration and salvation, but on theology. And what we find in Isaiah is what we can call the attributes of God practically applied. I think that many people struggle with, well, I've never been to seminary, I don't know Hebrew, I don't know Greek, I'm not a theologian, so, you know, I'm kind of don't want to say anything because I don't want to say anything wrong. That's a terrible idea. God says in 1 John 2 that his Spirit anoints all believers. We all have an anointing from God. Now, I'm called by God, spiritually gifted, to be a Bible teacher. But all of us are called by God to be his ambassador, and all of us have the Holy Spirit who teaches us the Word of God. And many times over the 40 years I've taught the Bible, I have gotten done teaching a group of people, and some sweet elderly person has come up to me, and after two or three sentences into our discussion, I realize that they know the Bible as well or better than I do. And they never have been to school, they've never been to seminary, they don't know ancient languages, but they sure do know the author. So what I'd like to encourage you is don't just casually read Isaiah 40. Now, part of this course is, remember, one of the course assignments that's in class zero that has all the assignments is you read the whole book of Isaiah. But don't just read it like, you know, you're reading labels in the supermarket. Read it like you're reading a love letter from your future wife or your current, present, you know, wonderfully married to wife, that you just savor every word. That's how we should read the Bible. Look at Isaiah 40. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak comfort in Jerusalem. Look at verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. This is the John the Baptist passage. Look at verse 6. In the middle, all flesh is grass, its loveliness like the flower of grass. Verse 7. The grass withers, the flower fades because of the breath of the Lord blows upon it. But verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Look at this. Isaiah affirms inspiration. The word of our God stands forever. Now look at the theology, this theology of the attributes of God, or a better way to understand attributes is the character. See, don't get bogged down by theological terms. They're only supposed to define truth. But character, we understand. People have character. We kind of put people in categories. That person is loud, that person is boisterous, that person is kind, that person is patient. What is God like? Look at Isaiah. It says, verse 10, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, his arms shall rule for him. Look at verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. Whoa. Let's just start listing some of these attributes. God is a shepherd. Wow. You know, Titus, the New Testament epistle of Titus, says that God is a shepherd who is a savior. You know, a lot of times we think of Jesus as our savior. Jesus is just revealing the invisible God who is a savior. And Jesus, the good shepherd, is just revealing our invisible God who is a shepherd, like it says right here. Now keep reading in verse 12. This is more of the character of God, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured the heavens with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in measure, and weighed the mountains. Wow. What is this saying? This is saying that our Creator, because it's talking about the Creator knowing how to balance the earth, by the way, that's a whole division of science. There's a, within science, within geology and astrophysics, is this type of scientific thought called isostasy and geodesy. Geodesy. And this has to do with the balance of the earth. Did you know the earth spins? It's round, but it has tall mountains, but it has ocean trenches that balance out so the earth doesn't wobble. Those are actually branches of upper level science. But look what Isaiah says. Who's the one that's calculated the dust of the earth, measured the heavens, and weighed the mountains and the hills? See, it's our Creator, who is all-powerful. I mean, no one, not even, you know, all those fictional superheroes in all the movies, ever claimed to be able to hold the earth in their hand and measure it and weigh it. But it doesn't stop there. It says in verse 15, the nations are like a drop in the bucket. Verse 17, they're like nothing. And then it talks about a little bit about idolatry. But look at verse 22 of chapter 40. He who sits above, what does your Bible say? The circle of the earth. And our great God sits above that and looks down on the earth. And what that tells us is that he is not only the Creator, but he is all-powerful, omnipotent. He is all-knowing. He's watching. He sees us. He's listening to when we talk. See, Isaiah is just filled with all of these truths about the attributes, the character of God. And, of course, we're going to spend an entire hour on that.